This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. After 17 years as chief executive of the Metro Atlanta Chamber, Sam Williams has announced he'll retire at the end of this year or until a replacement is found next year. During his time as head of the chamber, Williams has been a key figure in Atlanta's business and political life. Sam Williams joins us now in his office in downtown Atlanta. Sam Williams, welcome back. Good to have you.
Good to be here, Dennis.
If there was one thing, one project, one initiative that you had helped bring to fruition in the 17 years that you've been president and CEO of the chamber, can you pick one?
Well, that's really hard to do, but I think that probably the standout among all of them, possibly because it's different, is helping to save Grady Hospital from closure. The business community stepped in at the 11th hour when the hospital was virtually going bankrupt, and with the help of a lot of business executives and political leaders, saved it, convinced the Woodruff Foundation to infuse $200 million, and now Grady is back on its feet. It has one of the best trauma centers in the nation. It just was awarded a great accolade for stroke and burn centers as well.
Is it still a safety net for those who can't afford it, however? During the transition, there was the closing of the dialysis center, for instance. Are there people who can't go to Grady now who used to be able to?
Well, I think Grady has to look at how it can financially survive and provide the services that it best can do in healthcare moving forward. I think that operating businesses like the pharmacy and the dialysis center and some other things didn't make sense for Grady. It couldn't afford to stay alive and do those things. So I think it's building fields of expertise in order to financially stay alive so it can serve the needy patients. And, of course, healthcare is changing in this nation at lightning speed.
Does that mean, though, that if someone can't afford care, that they'll still be able to depend on Grady?
We hope so. We hope that the federal changes, of course, the big issues is the future of Medicaid and Medicare. Where is that going, not only in Georgia, but across this country?
Transportation. The T-SPLOST failed in the vote last year. A couple of years ago, when I asked you about whether we should take a regional approach, which is what we ended up doing, voting region by region all at once, or try it statewide, you said we have to eat this elephant one bite at a time. In the end, it didn't work. Any regrets about that?
No, I think a statewide approach would have had even less chance of winning than a region by region. We do have three regions now that did approve it. These kinds of movements or legislative and referenda issues take 4 or 5 years from beginning to end, and I don't think anyone could have foreseen the economic recession that certainly affected the vote. I think some other lessons we learned is that people just don't trust government. Many people would say, well, I really believe these things ought to be done, but I don't trust that if I give them the money, they'll spend it this way. I think we're going to have to look also at other forms of funding transportation. We're going to see toll roads. We're going to see public-private partnerships. But the toll roads that we build in the future are not going to be 50 cents. They're probably going to be $2, $3, or $4 toll roads. So we're going to have a push the reset button, come back and visit this again.
But you talked about higher tolls. If there was a resentment toward the 50-cent toll on Georgia 400, how could we possibly sell higher tolls in the future?
Well, I think the risk is going to be on the public, on the private company that's building those tolls in partnership with the local or state government. And I think we've seen in other parts of the nation where there were private companies that were willing to take the risk. But of course, they're going to pick very highly congested corridors.
You mentioned people lost trust in government, but there was some resentment also expressed during the T-SPLOST campaign on both sides of the political spectrum, from the Sierra Club to the Tea Party, about the business community, saying the business community was dictating too much. Did the business community overreach, do you think?
No, I think the projects were all picked not by the business community. The projects were picked by city mayors and county commissioners according to the state law. They picked those projects. The role of the business community was to try to promote it and tell the good news that could be accomplished out of it. I think the timing and the economy and the trust in government and the selection of the projects, those were the three things that really made it difficult to sell.
So what would you say to someone who says, oh, his decision was tied into the defeat of the T-SPLOST and the controversies surrounding the APS cheating episode?
Look, I could stay here for another 2 years, but I don't think they have anything to do with each other. This chamber has always taken on things that are tough, that are not easy. Are we going to win everything we do? No, we're not going to. But business leaders in this town, in this city, from the civil rights era to the Olympics, have always been go after the big things to do.